Okay. As we've discussed, the shiur for Bishol on Shabbos is a Maichel ben Derusai, that it would be edible to the traveling bandit ben Derusai, which was a machleikus. Is that half cooked or a third cooked? Rashi and the Rambam. But once a person cooks a food item till that shiur, either a half cooked or a third cooked, it'd be chayv from malacha of Bishol on Shabbos. And we discussed the machleikus in the Rambam and the Rajba. What if a person once it's cooked a Maichel ben Derusai, he cooks it further subsequently and makes it fully cooked? Can it be chayv for Bishol at that point? According to the Rajba, he would not be. According to the Rambam, he would be. However, this is all with regards to cooking dry foods. However, as we're going to see, it seems that with regards to liquids, it's an entirely different discussion. There's certainly a different shear with regards to Bishol. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Mischamim Adam Kenegad Medura, V'yayitzi Mishtah, we'll start with the second line, at the end of the second line. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Echa Shemem Echad Mayim, Yad Seredes by Mutter. That if you're heating up oil or water, presumably all liquids would be included, if you heat it till it's yad segeres boy, till your hand recoils from the heat, then it's aser, ein yad segeres boy, you heated it, but it did not become yad segeres boy, then it's mutter. Hechi dami yad segeres boy, what is the shear for yad segeres boy? Amar Rechava kol shekreisel serpinoik nichves, anything that the belly of a baby would become, that heat would become burned by it. We assume, of course, we just mentioned, this was never tested, chas v'shalom. But what then is the shear of yad segeres boy, that your hand would recoil from the heat? So practically speaking, the poskim have a large debate about this, and the range is quite large. Some poskim are chayshish already at 104 degrees. We have to be afraid that it's yad segeres boy, 110 at a minimum, yad segeres boy. And some are chayshish l'chumra, that until it's 160 degrees, we're still not sure if it's yad segeres boy, and you can't heat it any further. So there's this big range within the poskim. Rabbi Willig used to comment, how could it be that there's such a large range in the poskim from 110 degrees all the way to 160 degrees? We understand some poskim will measure yad segeres boy, your hand will recoil from the heat differently, but such a large range is unusual. So Rabbi Willig suggested that perhaps, in fact, there's a conceptual issue here. And that is, what are we discussing when we speak of a yad segeres boy, that your hand recoils from the heat? Because if a person is expecting to touch something that's hot, so then his hand is less likely to recoil from, you know, medium-level heat. If it's so hot that he just can't keep his hand there anymore, then his hand will pull back. But if he's expecting hot, so then he won't be shocked when it comes out, you know, somewhat hot. However, if a person is expecting something cold, and then it comes out hot, then his hand is much more likely to recoil sooner. So we will suggest that perhaps the poskim are arguing about, yes, a person's, the shear of yad segeres boy is when a person will be chayv for bishul, that means your hand will recoil from the heat, but are we discussing a person who's expecting to touch something hot, in which case it will be a higher temperature, or a person who's expecting to touch something cold, in which case it will be a lower temperature. But we will continue, and he suggested that perhaps this is in fact a machloikas harishonim. Because the Gemara says over there, Masech the Shabbos, Naf Mema Mebeis, Tan Rabbanan, the first line, Mischamim Adam Kinegan Medura, V'yayzim Mishtatif Bitzoinen. A person is allowed to, you know, heat himself next to a fire, and then go and put water on himself. Even though the water will get hot from his hot body, well, okay. Uvovashlo Yishtatif, but he can't do the reverse. Uvovashlo Yishtatif Bitzoinen, he can't wash himself in cold water. V'yischamim Kinegan Medura, then heat that part of his body where the water is, opposite the fire. Because he's heating the water that's upon him. What's the concern with heating water that's upon you? So that seems to be a machlekes harishonim. If you look at the Rajba there, I give it to you in the brackets. V'yesh mefarshim she'en mishum iser atzmai shel hefsher. There's nothing wrong with heating the water per se. El shenira kareches b'mayim parishim. It looks like he's going to be bathing himself in lukewarm water, which is prohibited. We don't take, you know, rechitza on Shabbos is prohibited. Gzeiras marchitzos. We're afraid if you, you know, shower in hot water, you might come to heat up the water. A whole story, fine. But it's a problem because you're washing yourself in hot water. However, the Rambam in Perichov Beis v'Chashavs v'Chadalin seems to imply that it's not because we're afraid that, you know, it's going to be a problem of washing yourself in hot water, which is prohibited in the Rabban on Shabbos. It's because you're heating the water. The Ram is discussing this case. He puts his hand in water. He's going to put it next to the Madura. That's prohibited because the water is going to become so hot that it will be Yad Nichvis Boy. How could it become Yad? I'm sorry, that it would be crazy, Shaltinek Nichvizba, that the belly of a baby would get burned by this heat of the water. If the water is going to get that hot, how could he keep his hand there? There's going to be water. It must be that have to pull his hand back. So it seems, according to the Rambam, people actually shower, or you can sustain having water on you that's Yad Saletisbay. You can have water upon you that's Yad Saletisbay. That's what the Rambam says. We're afraid you're going to take the water that's on your hand, put it next to the fire, and the water will become Yad Saletisbay. If it's Yad Saletisbay, by definition, that should be, you shouldn't be able to keep your hand there until it becomes Yad Saletisbay. The whole definition of Yad Saletisbay is your hand recoils from the heat. So it must be that according to the Rambam, Yad Saletisbay is defined by a person who's expecting to touch something cold. But if he'd be expecting to touch something hot, yeah, he can keep his hand there. People come with shower and water that's Yad Saletisbay. People take showers all the time, 110 degrees, 120 degrees. I don't know. Yeah, some showers have temperature gauges on the water. You can shower in that water. Probably that's more enjoyable temperature for showering. So why? Because you can handle the heat. What then? Why then should 110 or 120 be outside? That is because we're discussing a person who's expecting to touch something cold. Ooh, and it's that hot. Your hand might recoil. So if the Rambam says, you can shower in water that's outside, that is by, and that's why it's a problem of putting your hand next to the water could actually become on your hand. Yad Saletisbay, you're cooking the water. According to the Rashba, that's not the concern. You can't have water on your hand. They'll become Yad Saletisbay. Yad Saletisbay is defined by a person who's expected to touch something hot, and you can't keep your hand there. It's just too hot. Your hand will recoil from the heat. So then what then is the concern over here? It can't be that the concern is that the water on you is going to actually become Yad Saletisbay. Your hand would, by definition, recoil. Must be the concern is the one of showering in even lukewarm water, Peshrim, which would be perhaps is usher on Shabbos because of the Isser V'chitza B'Shabbos. A whole separate other concern of the Gzeiros Machatzel, something to do with showering or washing yourself in the bathhouse. However, it seems to be that the Rambam and the Rashba, perhaps if understood in this way, are really arguing about this issue. How should we define Yad Saletisbay? Do people shower in water, which is Yad Saletisbay? Can water upon you become Yad Saletisbay? It all revolves around this issue. Is Yad Saletisbay defined by a person who's expecting to touch something cold, in which case it could be a lower temperature? You could even shower in water, which is Yad Saletisbay, because you're expecting to touch something hot. Or is Yad Saletisbay referring to a person whose hand will recoil even when he's expecting to touch something hot, which would be a higher temperature? Either way, with regards to bishul of liquids, water, oil, presumably all liquids, we see that one becomes chai for bishul, not when it becomes maichu ben derusoi, but when it becomes yad saletisbay. Your hand will recoil from the heat, however that is defined. Why should it have a different shear than food items? Why should it have a different shear than food items? And perhaps it's because the entire nature of bishul when it comes to liquids is different than it is when it comes to solids, or perhaps not. But the Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos, over here in the Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, Amar Rava, in the Ma Armenu Ein Taimnim B'Davar She'ein Meisef Hevel Misha Chashecha. Well, a person is not allowed to insulate a pot on Shabbos, even if it's not an item that increases the heat. Let's say I have a soup pot, and I took it off the flame on Shabbos, but I want to keep it hot. So what do? I wrap it in towels. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's called insulating. The first covering on an item, let's say the tin foil around the challah, that's one covering. One covering is the pot itself. That you're allowed. That's never insulating. Because you have a pot, so it shouldn't be dried out, so it shouldn't become dirty. Everything we like to have in pots. So one pot, even though that's what keeps it hot, the pot is never hatmana. Hatmana is always a second covering. And it has to be a tight-fitting covering. Putting something in an oven is not a covering. That's too loose-fitting. It has to be something that's form-fitting around the pot. But a towel around the pot is your classic hatmana. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, even though it's just maintaining the heat. On Friday, though, let's say you had a pot that you took off Friday from the flame before Shabbos, that you're allowed to put in a towel and keep warm until the meal Friday night. You're allowed to maintain heat as long as you did it Erev Shabbos. But even Erev Shabbos, one is not allowed to insulate a pot in something that is Moisef Hevel, something that increases heat. So let's say, for example, you have your Shabbos urn, and maybe you remember, it's probably before your time, but in the days of the old Shabbos urns, which were just metal, they didn't have plastic with a plunger. It was just metal with a spigot in the front. Sometimes they used to have a jacket around it. Maybe you've seen it. And what was the purpose of the jacket? It was like this towel that was made for urns. What was the purpose of it? To keep the water even hotter than an urn would normally make it. So the whole purpose is to insulate the heat, and that is something that increases heat because you have a fire underneath with the urn. So that is prohibited to do even on Friday. You're not allowed to do that even though you did it Erev Shabbos. B'davar she'moisef hevel, something that increases heat, that's prohibited. So Amar Rava, ain't time to b'davar she'eino moisef hevel mishachashecha. But why did Chazal say, let's say it's on Shabbos, it's mishachashecha, it's already become Shabbos, you can't even insulate on something that maintains heat. You can't wrap a pot in towels. Why is that us or on Shabbos? If you would do it Friday, Erev Shabbos would be allowed. On Shabbos is prohibited. Why? Gzeira shema yartiach. It's a problem because you might see that it's not maintaining the heat properly, and you'll heat the coals underneath it to make it hot again. You'll heat it up. What will be the problem if you stoke the coals underneath it to make it hot again, or you put it back on top of the flame? What will be the problem? So Rashi says, Gzeira shema, you're going to see that it's too cold when you're coming to insulate it. You're going to see it's too cold. You can heat it again. The problem will be that you're going to cook on Shabbos. That's how Rashi understood the concern of Gzeira Shemi Yartiach. We could have understood the concern of Gzeira Shemi Yartiach. You might be chai for Havara, for kindling a flame, not for Bishol. But Rashi describes the chashash, the problem of cooking the pot again, or reheating the pot, as because of a chashash of Bishol. We could have said it's because of Havara. You're making a new flame here. Rashi says it's because of Bishol. So Beis Yosef comments on Rashi, L'may the perishes, the loishayach Bishol betavshashon is bashel. The Beis Yosef quotes the rule that we discussed previously, that ein Bishol achar Bishol. Once something is cooked, you can't be chayav for cooking it again. Don't be concerned with the Gemara in Perek B'mem Adlikin and Lamed Aleph and Aleph, which says that we're afraid when you come to insulate a pot on Shabbos, you might see that it's cold and you're going to reheat the pot. Why should we be concerned with reheating a pot? Ain't Bishol Achar Bishol. Hasam Lav Mishum Bishol El Mishum Shem Yachata. The fear is Havara. You're going to kindle a flame, not one of Bishol. But Ein Achinami, if you had a pot that was fully cooked, sounds like we're discussing liquid solids. We're not differentiating between the two. No problem with Bishol. Ain't Bishol Acha Bishol. But Rashi Piresh, Rashi over there says the basis of it in the second line, Gzeira Shemi Yartiach Kedesh and Itztanina, we're afraid you're going to heat up the pot. Nimsa Mavashol B'Shabbos. And you're going to be cooking on Shabbos. So what? Ain't Bishol Acha Bishol. How could you be high for cooking? It's already cooked. The whole fear is you want to maintain the heat or maintain the, you know, in order to be able to serve it. And you're going to see it's not hot enough, so you're going to reheat it. So what? What's the problem with reheating? You can't violate Bishol and Bishol Acha Bishol. So it says the Beis Yosef in the third line, Midrav Lamal, Nusha'af B'tavshosh and Ishbashel, V'nitztanen Shair B'Bishol. An item that was cooked already, but it's cooled off, one can violate Bishol again. Kevin Sheyej B'Mashka. Since it has a liquid. The whole rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is only with regards to solid food items, dry food. But if it's liquid, so then we have to be afraid for Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol. Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Lach. When it comes to liquids, there is Bishol Achar Bishol. That's the opinion of Rashi. That's the way the Beis Yosef interpreted Rashi's opinion. When do we apply the rule? Ein Bishol Achar Bishol is only with regards to a davar yavish. And that's why we're concerned when you reheat the pot, you might violate Bishol. This is only, of course, once it's cooled down. If it's still hot, then of course you can't violate Bishol again. But once it cooled down, you could be chai for Bishol again. That's the opinion of Rashi. The Rambam never makes this distinction, and therefore most assume, the Beis Yosef assumes the Rambam doesn't hold of this distinction. The Rambam feels just like Ein Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Yavish, so too Ein Bishol Achar Bishol B'davar Lach, simply because he never makes the distinction. However, this is articulated explicitly by the Ran. The Ran, if you look back at Oisalov, is commenting on another line in that Gemara on Mem Amabez, the second line, the beginning of the second line, where the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, maybe Adam Kita and Mayim, Umeinicha Keneged HaMedura. A person is allowed to take a pot of water and place it next to the fire. Lo b'shvil sheyechamu, not in order so that it should become hot, el b'shvil shetafik sinasan, in order to remove the chill. But would you be allowed to heat it so that it should become hot? No. So Rashi writes, Perish Rashi, look at the Ran. The Ran quotes Rashi. Make it a little bit, just remove the chill, but it will never become hot. Miu, says the Ran. Hani miu b'davishlon is bashel. When can you not heat up liquids on Shabbos is something that was not cooked previously. Aval tzayin enshin is bashel. If it was already cooked, muter la'anicha afil b'kli rishon kenegad medura. You can heat it up on Shabbos. As long as it's opposite the flame. Of course, to put it on the flame, we're going to get to, is a problem of hachazara, nesina mechadosh. You can't put food on top of a flame on Shabbos, even if it's fully cooked, midrabanan. The Ran makes that point at the end. We're talking about where it's next to the flame. We're not on the flame, next to the flame. So, afil b'kuvisheni, b'kuvishon, or k'negin ha-medura, afil b'mokim shi'at sholetes bo, shein derech bishul b'kach. That's allowed. How? Meaning, if it's already been cooked, so the Ran says, that's fine, you can heat it up on Shabbos as long as it's done in a permitted way, not on top of the flame, but next to the flame. Oh, but the water's getting hot. So what? Forget about the Yisurim Darabanan of putting food back on top of a flame on Shabbos. For whatever reason, you're not allowed to do that. But what about the Malach of Bishul? It's going to get hot. So the Ran feels that just like we say, Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul B'Dava Yavish, we say, Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul B'Dava Lach. And that's why you can reheat it as long as it's been cooked once before. So we have a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ran apply the rule of Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul, both to Dava Yavish as well as to Dava Lach, and Rashi distinguishes between the two. When we say Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul, it's only by Dava Yavish, by Dava Lach, we would say Yesh Bishul Ach HaBishul. Once it cools down, you can be chai for Bishul again. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins is machmer like Rashi. Over here in Shin Yud Ches Siv Daled, the Shulchan Aruch, it's a little bit of difficult to pick apart and unpack, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch tells you. Shofar says Tavshush and Izbash are called Sarkai. Yesh b'mishum bishul im nitzdanin. Food item that was cooked. Once it cools down, you could be chai for bishul again. And then he tells you, Hani mili, she yesh b'bishul achabishul. When is there bishul achabishul? But Tavshush, she yesh b'marak. In a liquid item. If it's a dry item, Tavshush and Izbash are kvar. But hu yavish, mutal lishroisa b'chamim b'shavis. Then you can reheat it again. But if it's a liquid, you cannot reheat it. Yesh bishalach abishu b'davalach. The Beis Yosef, the Bir Halacha, I'm sorry, in that sif in the Shulchan Aruch, again, jumps all over the Shulchan Aruch. Why is he machmer like Rashi, the Rambam, the Ran? Many Rishonim disagree that we apply in bishalach abishu both to davalach as well as to davalach. But that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. He's machmer like Rashi. We have to be afraid. Yesh bishalach abishu b'davalach. But why should this be the case? Why should... We have a rule, Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul. That's the general rule. Why should that not apply to a Dava Lach as well? Why are we distinguishing between liquids and solids? So Egoi Tau explains, it's also found in the Minchas Chinuch, a fundamental distinction exists, he claims, between cooking of liquids and cooking of solids, and that might be already indicated by the fact that they have two different shiurim. When it comes to cooking, it's foreshadowed by the different shiurim. When it comes to cooking solids, the shear is Michael Ben Derusoi. When it comes to cooking liquids, it's Yatzur Gadisbari. So that leads Degoy Tal to explain about MS. He says over here, Kol Matachos B'Shasa Siyasa Humahutach. Let's go back all the way to where we started. In the first year, we discussed that the Malach of Bishul actually existed in the Mishkan, not with regards to food items, but non-food items, the Samamanim, the dyes in the Mishkan. And we discussed the Bishul also exists with regards to metals. If you heat a metal till it changes states, becomes a liquid to a solid, or it could be made, transformed, malleable, then you'd be chai for bishul. But how? All metal was once heated. That's how you get it out of the rock. That's how you mine metal. When you go back and you heat it again, why should you ever be chai for bishul on metal? The whole way you extract it from the rock in the first place was through heat. Must be by metal or by liquids, even though it's been cooked already, once it cools down, there's cooking again. The reason is because by Yavesh, once an item is cooked, you can no longer be chai for Bishul again. Why? Because when you cook chicken and it cools down, it doesn't go back to being raw chicken. When you cook potato kugel and it cools down, does it go back to being potatoes, eggs, salt and sugar and oil? It remains potato kugel. It remains cooked chicken. So bishulo olav. Ma she'en kim ma'atocho she'hitchato hu bishul k'schozim iskasha azalei bishuloi. When you heat it up and then it cools down, the bishul is no longer recognizable. You can't tell that this was once heated. So it's azalei bishuloi. Well, therefore, when you go back and heat it again, it's like you're cooking it for the first time in your chai. The same is true with regards to liquids. That's the punchline. What is bishul with regards to liquids? Not making it fit for consumption, Michael ben derusoi, taking it from being raw to being cooked, because that assumes a change took place. Yeah, there's no change to take place. Chimumo hu bishulo. What is the definition of cooking when it comes to liquids? Not making it edible, but rather making it hot. That's the definition of bishul. Yeah?
Do we see that fish oil can actually change the liquid?
Good. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, yeah, you're right. We're going to get to your point in 1 second. Okay, Nira, the huadim b'mayim, the chimumo hu bishulo. Ukishinitztanim v'azloi bishuloi. When you it cools down, the bishul is no longer recognizable. And therefore, when you go back and you heat it again, you could be chayv. And he, even though the Rambam does not subscribe to the position of yesh bishul ha bishul, but the Rambam does distinguish, as does the Gemara, in the way that they describe cooking liquids, as opposed to the way it's described as cooking solids. The Mishnah in Masech the Shabbos and Lama Vavim Abayz and the Lashon of the Braisa is Chamin Shehuchamu. Water is Huchamu. It's heated. Tavshil is Shebishel. It's cooked. And language is important. The Pnei Yeshua already on Daf Mem Abayz, I gave it to you over here, Ozayin, asks why does the Gemara distinguish in the way that it describes water as Chimum, heating, versus solids is described as Bishul, as cooking. And he also makes a similar distinction. That's because there's a difference in the way that you're chai for bishul with regards to water or liquids. It's chimumo. It's all described by, you know, all accomplished by heating, as opposed to solids. It's making it edible. That's bishulo. V'goshen Rambam hamavashal samimanim. A person who cooks dies hamachamim es hamayim. When it comes to liquids, it's heating. V'kevin to be said. So returning to the goytal, two lines from the bottom. V'kevin to be kol hani mashma. So he extrapolates from this, even though that could be innocuous. I mean, we all agree, mayim or liquids, yachai for bishul, once it becomes yatsa lettuce bowl, which is in a different shear than maichel ben derusoi. So everyone agrees heating plays a role over here. However, since Egoitel is arguing that all there is by liquids is heating, there's no cooking by liquids, ela loshon chimum v'chimumo. What is the cooking? The regards to liquids is heating. Just like heating liquids. So since once it cools down, the bishul is no longer recognizable. That's why Rashi feels he can be chai for bishul again. Yesh bishul, achar bishul. Even within though this distinction, between liquids and solids, one could have distinguished further that perhaps there are some liquids which the bishul is recognizable. A person cooks soup. Yeah, so once the soup cools down, it doesn't go back to being chicken, vegetables, and spices and water. It remains soup. So shouldn't we agree over there that we should say ein bishalach abishu b'davalach? So the Egoitel actually takes this distinction. So that's the argument of the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says over here, Oisches, L'chor Nira, Davka Mayim, V'yayim V'shemen. The only time there's a machlekes, whether Yesh Bishach HaBishu B'davalach or Ein Bishach HaBishu B'davalach, is only an item where, once it cools down, the Bishu is no longer recognizable. It's Azalei Bishulo. That's water, wine, oil. She'ein Ha'esh Poyo B'olach Shiro Kokach. The fire doesn't change it. Dinei Kokai Gamken. Okay, so you can't tell the difference. That's when there's a machlekes. Let's say Bisoup. No one would say yesh bishul chabishul b'davalach, because even when it cools down, it's not ozalei bishulah. The Egoitel takes the same distinction, but in the other direction. He says, no, the whole machlekes is only by soup. That's where some could argue that it's not ozalei bishulah. That's where the Rambam and the Ran say ein bishul chabishul b'davalach. Water, everyone would agree yesh bishul chabishul b'davalach. How could you argue when the water cools down, the bishul is no longer recognizable? Everyone should agree water is that once it cools down, you'll be chai for bishul again. Yesh bishul, achar bishul b'davalach. It's the same distinction, but he takes it the other way. The Egoitel, though, in Sifkat and Yud Tes, Ois Yud Beis, he makes this point, distinguishing between liquids and soup, water and soup, or something similar to soup. But then he backs out in the Hashmatis of the Egoitel, because he says a chemist explained to him that when water is heated, boiled and then cooled down, that's distilled water. Chemically, it's different than water that was never heated. It's more purified. So once he heard that, he said, maybe we shouldn't distinguish between soup and other liquids. By all of them, soup and water, by all of them, one can make a case that since it changes somewhat, bishul does apply to liquids. And ain bishul acha bishul b'davalach, just like we say in bishul acha bishul when it comes to dry foods by W. Yavish. Or perhaps one could argue that for the most part, when it cools down, it's a little bit ozalei bishulo. As we'll explain soon, perhaps a little bit better. Because it's no longer hot anymore. And therefore, one could understand those who argue, like Rashi, that yesh bishul acha bishul b'davalach, because it's ozalei bishulo. The bishul is no longer recognizable, or not as recognizable as it was before, as opposed to cooked chicken or cooked potato cooked over the bishul is just as recognizable now as it was when it was hot. Yeah.
Recognizable, sorry, it almost sounds like a messy
kid. No, it means that it's not gone. There's a remnant of the initial bishul. Nothing to do with perception here. Is there anything left? There's nothing left. So then, azalei bishul, you could be chai for bishul again. The only reason why ain bishul acha bishul v'davi yavish is because it's still there. The bishul is still happening. Or created a permanent change. Here, no permanent change took place. So the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is, yesh bishul acha bishul v'davi lach. We would assume that that's because he subscribes to this kind of lamdos, and that is once the item cools down, with regards to liquids, once the item cools down, it's azalei bishul. The bishul is no longer, does no longer exist in the same way they did before, and therefore you can be chai for bishul again, as opposed to davar yavish, where the bishul continues to be recognizable or continue to have an effect on the item just as much now as it did before. And therefore, you can't be chai for bishul again, but by lach you could. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch passes. However, the Ramah has somewhat of a more complex approach. And as we'll see, there's a big machlok is how to understand the position of the Ramah. The Ramah is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches Sif Tez Vav, where the Shulchan Aruch echoes his position. Davish and his Rasha called Tzarkoi, Behu Yavesh, She'ein Bo Morok. You have an item which was cooked fully, and there's no liquid there. Mutala Nicho Kenegan Madura, Fiwa Makami Shayat Sagar as well. You can place it next to the flame, not on the flame, that would be Hachazara, but next to the flame, on Shabbos, even will become Yad Sagar as well. Because it's already cooked, ain't bishul acha bishul. V'afil nitztan in kvar, says the Rambam, even if it's already cooled down. Aval, im hu roiseach, if it's still hot, so then afil b'davash yesh b'morach mutar. Then even a liquid would be allowed. The Shulchan Aruch is limiting this to dry foods. Liquid foods, you can't do this, because the Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion, yesh bishul acha bishul, b'davalach, once it cooled down, you can be chai for bishul again, so you can't reheat it, it becomes yad sagar as well. But the Rambam says, if it's still hot, no one's going to say, yesh bishul acha bishul, it's still hot. So then, of course, you could place it next to the Madura, even will become Yad Sagara's book. Then the Ramah, though, quotes, V'yesh makilim, there are those who are lenient, loymar, dekol shei nois ne'agabi ha'esh or akira mamish, anytime you place it not on the flame, but next to the flame, raksamachloi, afilo nitztanin mutar. Even if it's cooled down, it's allowed, because they hold ein bisho achar bisho b'davalach. Just like ein bisho achar bisho b'davayavish, ein bisho achar bisho b'davalach, so even a liquid that's cooled down entirely can be placed next to the flame in a position that will become Yad Sagar Esbar. Okay, that's the Rambam. Then the Rambam continues. V'nagu l'hokel bazeh, im loy nitztan in legamrei. We have the minig to be meiko, like this, that ain't bishul acha bishul b'davalach, as long as it is not cooled down entirely. The Ramah often makes compromises between two extremes within the Rishonim, and we always struggle to understand, what is the conceptual basis for this compromise. If the Ramah is going to be meiko that ain bishul acha bishul b'davalach, then he's assuming that there's a concept of cooking when it comes to liquids. So be meiko even if it's fully cooled down. And if the Ramah feels yesh bishul acha bishul b'davalach, so then once it drops, that there's no concept of cooking by liquids, that it's because the whole cooking by liquids is defined by heat, so then therefore once it cools down the heating is no longer recognizable, and you're chayv for bishul again, so once it drops we go, yeah, so that is why you should be chayv. Meaning the man of shach, we're left trying to understand this compromise of the Ramah. If there's no bishul by lach, it's all chimum, you should be chayv once it drops we go, yeah, so that is why. Azalei Bishulo. If it's the Ramah feels that yesh ein bishalach bishul davalach, it's just it's treated the same as solids because there is a concept of cooking by liquids, and even when it cools down, it's still recognizable like a cooked item, like soup or distilled water, however you want to define it. But there is a concept of cooking bishul when it comes to liquids, not just chimum, not just heat. You know, functions on the same plane as the davar yavish. So then, even if it's cooled down entirely, it should be mutter. What is the meaning of this? The significance of this compromise of the Ramah? So I think what is the most obvious approach is that of the Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah argues the Ramah really feels, come on, look at the context of the Ramah. The Ramah feels, ein bishal achar bishal b'davar lach. That's what he says. Nagu l'hokel l'zeh. The meaning is to be meko, ein bishal achar bishal b'davar lach. But, you know, to kind of appease the other side, you know, kind of not to be meko outright, we should be ma'achmir, loy netzdan l'gamre, if it's, you know, we should be machmir. I'm sorry if it's nistan or legamri. They shouldn't be heated. But fundamentally, the Ramah believes there is a concept of bishul by liquids, and therefore, once it's cooked, it's cooked. Ain bishul acha bishul b'davalach, just like a yavi yavish. Once it's cooled down, you shouldn't do it. A chumra, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The same chumazay yesh ma'akilin kozman shulain nistan or legamri. As long as it hasn't cooled down entirely, you can reheat it. So Chazanish explains this position a little bit further, perhaps at least, you know, to give it to, justifies it a little bit more. The name of Ikra Adin, Ein Shemokum L'chalek, says the Chazanish, Ben Itztan L'gamri, Lo Itztan L'gamri. This distinction, conceptually, you know, we don't find the source for that. You can't defend it, conceptually. The Kol She'ein Ayat Tzoledes Bo, Chashiv, Min Adin Kitzoyne, anything that's less than Yat Tzoledes Bo, it's cold. And if you hold the yesh bishul achar bishul b'davalach, you should be chayiv if you reheat it. Ve'al karchach, shanu taifsin le'ikar adin kedas ha-rambam. Must be the Ramah paskins, ein bishul achar bishul b'davalach. Like the Rambam, she'ein isi l'chamem es hatzoynin ha-mavushol. Once it's cooked, just like a davar yavish. Ela, mipnei shelo yavou l'hokel b'chayim, lo'inogu l'hokel b'tzoynin, she'ein chemimusa nikeres. The problem is, even though the Ramah feels there is a concept of bishul when it comes to liquids, and therefore even if it'll cool down entirely, you can reheat it, in the end of the day, people are going to become confused. You're going to see me reheating water on Shabbos because my water is pre-cooked. They start selling it in the farm stores. Pre-cooked water to be heated on Shabbos. It was already cooked. And you're not going to know the difference between water that was once cooked and water that was cooked. It's misleading. So that's going to lead people to cook water that was never cooked. We're going to remember which water was cooked, which water wasn't cooked. So therefore, you should be machmer, in the, you know, if it's nitzdan legamri, not to cook it up again, only because it's going to just create confusion. But fundamentally, the Ramah holds, once it's cooked, there's a concept of bishul by liquid, just like there is by davar yavish, ain't bishul acha bishul,
but
davar lach.
Yeah. It doesn't only apply by water, then, which is...
No, even soup. We're assuming water is, you know, the head of a classification of items of liquids. So since one liquid you can heat, you know, you shouldn't heat up once it's cooled down entirely, all liquids, water is representative of a larger class. So therefore, just like you shouldn't heat, you're going to start heating up one liquid, you might heat up other liquids.
We're saying it's representative of an entire class, but we're also making a distinction. We also made a distinction before between
water. We don't accept that distinction. We really don't. The Prima Gada made it, you know, argued conceptually that's where it should lead us. If the whole reason is because Azulay Bishul, conceptually, we should distinguish between soups and other liquids, practically, I don't think any place can accept that distinction. All liquids are treated the same. Soups, waters, they're all treated the same. And we really, either you hold Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul B'davalach across the board, or you hold Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'davalach. Even though, you know, the Prima Gadim and the Egel Tal do highlight, you know, what the whole concept is about, we don't really accept that distinction in the Maisa. We treat them all the same. So, but the Chazanish and the Mishnah Berurah are arguing that Ramah really holds Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'davalach. There was a concept of Bishul when it comes to liquids, but if it's Nistan and Lagami, it shouldn't reheat it again. It will become confusing between liquids that have been reheated, liquids that haven't been, you know, that have been cooked before, liquids that haven't been cooked before, and therefore you shouldn't do it. Working off a similar argument, Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, Chelek Av Simin Sadi Gimel, the same understanding of the Ramah, and appears later on, Chelek Dalet Simin Ayin Dalet. The Rav Moshe was of the opinion, therefore, that since this is only a Chumrah, now, there are certain instances where a person could be makel to reheat liquids even after they've cooled down entirely. For example, a person's having one cup of tea, which is good to the last drop, you know, but oftentimes there are drops left behind. After you're done with your first cup of tea, a person will say, I want a second cup of tea, or a second cup of coffee, and there could be water droplets left at the bottom. Inevitably, I mean, yeah. Can you put a second cup of tea or a second cup of coffee in the same cup, or do you have to dry it out with, you know, a paper towel or something? So Moshe argued, no, you could be lenient over there. Why? Because really, we paskin ein bishlach bishul b'davalach. There are mothros in a chumrah. If it's nistanu lagamrei, you shouldn't heat it again because it might, you know, as the Chazanish explained, it could lead to confusion. But no one's going to be confused with a second cup of tea, you know, the little droplets in the bottom of the cup. There's no issue of confusion in that scenario. You can be makel to heat up the second cup of tea, you know, or to put hot water in the cup, you know, with the droplets left from the first cup. Even though you were heating liquids that were already fully cooled off, you would have to be machmir in that setting. Or working off this line of reasoning, yes.
Will the same apply if before Shabbos you wash dishes and there was droplets on the dishes, and then going into Shabbos you wanted to put some, or like a cup, and you want to put something like hot liquid in the cup, even if the drops already cool off?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I don't know how far you want to take this. But yeah.
Meaning, is it any droplets on the cup, or is it specifically my tea?
That was what Moshe's question he was asked. I don't know how you want to apply it. You know, you have to do so with discretion. But that was his situation, yeah.
I think it would depend on how hot that water you used to wash the dishes. It's
right. I think it would become confusing. People don't want sometimes washing hot, sometimes washing cold.
Because the reason why I'm asked is I think in the art scroll, Shabbos Kitchen, it says that you should dry off the cup completely first.
We're going to get to right now. So there are others, though, who disagree with this. A prot of the Mishnah Berurah of the Chazon Ish, and the understanding of Rav Moshe, and that's why some are machmer to dry out the cup of tea before you put in your second cup. Because they have a different understanding of this Ramah. Because the Ramah, later on, earlier, in Reishon Gimel Sifhei, the Ramah writes like this, L'chein asa lema le'en Yehudi, L'hachem ha'kadeira im nitztanin. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to heat up presumably liquids for you that have become cooled off. If you did so, it's prohibited. We're going to discuss that. If you cooked on Shabbos in prohibited fashion, the food becomes prohibited. Im loy nitztanin kokach, if it hasn't cooled off entirely, shadayin ruyim lecho, you could still eat it. Im chimimo osam ha'enam yehudim, mutalecho, then it's permitted. It doesn't become prohibited to you because it was still hot. Presumably because you didn't violate anything there. You didn't violate Bishol. Why didn't you violate Bishol? Because the water was still hot. So the Magen Avraham writes, explaining that Ramah, that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to heat up water for you on Shabbos. And if you did, we penalize you that you can't enjoy the water. The Sfirulei, do it done the Sfirulon, says the Magen Avraham in the fourth line. Since you can't heat it up midday raisa, also loymer gamkin la'akum. You can't ask a nachmir to do it either. If you did so, you violated bishul and would be prohibited even b'diyevet. So the Magen Avraham interpreted the Ramah as saying that when it is fully cooled off, even though presumably we're discussing a liquid here that was heated once, and it cooled off. That's what the Ramah later on says. I'm learning Stanin Kokach. It hasn't cooled off entirely. It's still, you know, going to Stanin Lagamre. Then we wouldn't apply this. But if it isn't Stanin Lagamre, you can't ask an Achor to reheat it. And the Magen Avraham says, if you did, you'd violate an Isa Midday Raisa. That doesn't work with the Mishnah Berurah, with the Chazon Ish. According to the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, the Ramah really held, Ein Bishalach HaBishul B'davalach. He just threw in a Chumrah. If it's cooled off entirely, don't heat it up again. But if you would, you wouldn't violate Bishul Day Raisa. Over here, the Magen Avraham interpreted the Ramah as saying, if you heat it up again, you violate Bishul Deirai. So the Ramah really holds, Yesh Bishulach HaBishul B'davalach. Now we're back to where we started. If Yesh Bishulach HaBishul B'davalach, so then why, once it cooled off, below Yad Soledes Bo, you should be Chayv. According to the Ramah, he really agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Like Rashi, Yesh Bishulach HaBishul B'davalach. So once it drops below Yad Soledes Bo, and you reheat it, you should be Chayv again. Why do you have to wait till it's Nitztan and Lagamre? So Soloveitchik suggested, according to the within this Magen Avraham, his understanding of the Ramah really holds Yesh Bishulach HaBishul B'davalach, but he disagrees in terms of its application with the Shulchan Aruch. According to Shulchan Aruch, once it drops below Yad Soledes Bo, so the first Bishul is no longer recognizable, and therefore it's Ozalei Bishul as Egloi Tal. Explain you can have a Bishul again if you reheat it. However, the Ramah argues it's really not Ozalei Bishulo. When is it Ozalei Bishulo? When is the first Bishul no longer recognizable? When is the Chimum no longer recognizable? When it becomes room temperature. Now I can't tell the difference. Oh, that's Ozalei Bishulo. If it's still above room temperature, it's loin, it's not in the gamre, can we really say it's Ozalei Bishulo? I mean, he agrees fundamentally, but he disagrees in the application. Why should we say one to the difference? Well, you should be chayav for the first bishul. We understand where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from, because you know, it's drop below Yatzogadisbo, which is an important line in the sand. But the Ramah draws the line in somewhere else, that it's only once it's become Nistan and Legamre, now it's Ozalei Bishul. It's become room temperature. Ozalei Bishul, now it's no longer recognizable. Yeah.
I know he doesn't address in the words we just said, but is it so much about room temperature or about going back to where it was originally before you heated it? And if room temperature changed in the interim, but it went back to its original temperature, would that be considered Nistan and Legamre?
I don't think there's a distinction between the two, yeah. You're saying, let's say I cooked it at 70 and now it's 72? Yeah.
Or not, let's say like the AC, the AC went on.
Yeah, I don't think that would matter. Yeah.
Brought it to this room.
That was Salvatic's argument that Nitzan and Legamre, according to the Ramah, should be room temperature, because it's just disagreeing about where to draw the line in the sand, when does it become Ozalei Bishulo. Rabbi Willig has noted, and many Achreinim seem to agree fundamentally, but just disagree with that interpretation. If you look at the Ramah says that it's cooled off. Look back at Rishon and Gimel Sif Hey. It's cooled off so much. Shadain roi lecho. It's still fit to be eaten, which implies that it's still fit to be eaten. Of course, what do you mean that you can't eat it when it cools off? It means it's still fit to be eaten as hot food. It doesn't mean that it's become room temperature. The Ramah defines lo nitzan legamre as when does it become ozalei bishulo? When it's no longer fit to be eaten as hot food. Not when it becomes room temperature. If you look at Egoi Tal. They go tell over here in Sifkan Yudawit also. First quote from the Minchas Kayin, classical Achreinim, who feels like the Mishnah Berurah, like the Chazanish. Because of the Minchas Kayin, Mishum Desvire, Deik, Das Apais, Mdor Mechalkin, and Ben Yavish Lalach. According to the Ramah, it fundamentally holds, Ain't Bishalach, Abishal, Dovalach. Just if he said if it cooled off entirely, we shouldn't heat it up, it will become confusing. Then, the Egoital says he doesn't believe that's the case. Li Nira, Bishadai Raisa. No! The Ramah really holds, Yesh Bishalach, Abishal, Dovalach. There is Bishalach, Abishal. Machmirina kiinach paiskim that yesh bishal habishu v'davalach. We're dealing with anisim midrash over here. Ukeshaloi nitzan legamre v'roy adain leksas bnei adam lecho machmas chamimusoi kvar yatzanu mechashashi shadai raisa. But as long as it can be still eaten as hot food, it's no longer it's not ozalei bishulo. And therefore, you wouldn't be chai for bishul again if you reheated it. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav seems to imply. It's all really based upon the language of the Ramah, where the Ramah says, Shadain roi lecho, it's still fit to be eaten. So says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, roi adain lecho machmas chamimuso. When is it ozalei bishulo, that a person will be chai for bishul again, perhaps even midday raisa, according to the Ramah, is when it's no longer fit to be eaten as hot food. But they really did agree, this is all coming to explain the Magen Avraham's interpretation of the Ramah, which is that the Ramah really holds Yesh Bishalach HaBishul B'davalach. And if it's cooled off entirely, you can be chai for Bishul again. And therefore, if you have your second cup of tea, you should really clean out the droplets. Because if it's cooled off entirely, according to the Ramah, we're dealing with Hashash Yisudei Raisa of Bishalach HaBishul B'davalach. So then why does he disagree with the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch holds once it drops below Yatzogadisbo, you can't heat it again. The Ramah, says one, as long as it's not in the Gamra, you can heat it again. That's not a token Chumrah. That's rather Meikar Adin. The Ramah is disagreeing. Where do we draw the line? When it becomes Ozalei Bishul, when the first Bishul is no longer recognizable, either when it becomes room temperature, or more likely, when it's no longer to be, able to be eaten as hot food, or be consumed as hot, soup. So then it's considered to be Ozalei Bishulo, and Bichai for Bishul again. This definition, though, of the Achreinim, of the Egoi Tal, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, perhaps implies that Davar Lach, in this context, is something which has to be eaten hot. Meaning, because it says, Necho Machmas Chamimuso, meaning, when do we say Ozalei Bishulo by Davar Lach, when is it called a Davar Lach? That we'd say Ozalei Bishulo, and if it cooled off, if it heated again, is something that has to be eaten hot. Can't be eaten cold. See, chicken, once it's cooked, you can eat cold chicken. You can eat, cold meat. You can eat most solid foods could be eaten, might be, you know, better if when it's hot, but you can certainly eat when it's cold. Most liquids, soup, I know there is cold soup, but for the most part, chicken soup, you know, soup is eaten as a hot dish. That's why, but you'll never find in the Sfarim, by the way, truant, you'll never find, is it a dover yavish or dover lach? Look around. I challenge you to find it. So I think part of that is because everybody makes the chulent differently. By some, chulent is a soup. By others, chulent is like, you know, the consistency is very dense. However, I think more likely is because chulent has to be eaten hot. You can't have, most sane people don't eat cold chulent. I know there are people who do it, but buffalo diet makes a das kol b'nei adam. Most people don't eat cold chulent. So that's considered to be, by definition, a davar lach, because it has to be eaten hot. And therefore, when it cools down to a certain extent, it's also lebishulo, because you can no longer eat it as hot food, and this item is only consumed hot. Or, for example, the Orcha Shabbos, let's say just, you know, let's say take it to the other extreme. Orcha Shabbos, Perak Aleph, Ois Mem Zayin, quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that ketchup, as Ramesh is Mesupak, and Igros Moshe. Chelek Dalet, Simen Ayin Dalet, is ketchup, a Davalach or a Davayovesh. I always thought the suffix was Israeli ketchup versus American ketchup. Israeli ketchup is very viscous. In America, we have Heinz, you know. So it's like advertising, you know, takes a long time to pour. So in America, it's a davar yavish. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a davar lach. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Orcha Shabbos that it's a davar yavish. Why? Even though, no, it doesn't matter how viscous it is because it's eaten cold. So even when it's cooled off, it's loy azalei bishulo. The first bishul is still recognizable. It's the same as a davar yavish. But if you have a davar yavish, which can only be in hot, like cholent, we probably have to treat that as a davar lach. So that's an important observation that many posts can make based on this definition according to the Ramah. Why is the Ramah machmir by davar lach once it's cooled off entirely? Because azalei bishulo can no longer be eaten as hot food. That would only be by foods that are typically eaten hot. And no longer cannot be eaten when they're cold. So it's not considered to be azalei bishul until it's nistana legamrei. Then it's azalei bishul, the first bishul is no longer relevant. But if it's len nistana legamrei, the first bishul is relevant, so then it would be permitted to eat it again. We'd apply the rule of ein bishul, achar bishul, like every other davar yavish. But we have these two perspectives in the Ramah. Some interpreted the Ramah, the classical interpretation, Mishnah Berurah, the Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe, the Minchas Kohen. The Ramah really feels, ein bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. If it's cooled off entirely, it shouldn't be heated again as a chumrah. You might come to confuse it with liquids that haven't been heated once. And the other interpretation, what seems to be the Magen Avraham, the Igli Tal, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, is that the Ramah really holds, yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. Just, he draws the line in the sand differently than Shulchan Aruch. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's Azalei Bishul. The first Bishul is no longer recognizable when it dips below Yatsa Vedesbay. And the Ramah feels it's once it's no longer able to be eaten as hot food, then the Bishul is no longer recognizable. So we really are not sure, according to the Ramah, is there a concept of Bishul by liquids or not? According to the classical interpretation, there is a concept of Bishul. And we say, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, but Dava Lach, according to the Ramah. According to the other perspective, according to the Magen Avraham, the Ramah really holds yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. There is no concept of bishul when it comes to liquids, just chimum, just heat. And therefore, when the heat's gone, the bishul's gone. This makes a big difference with regards to a suffix that the Shvish HaShabbos has, or a discussion Shvish HaShabbos has, with regards to liquids that were, let's say, yad seledes bo, and now you want to kick it up, heat it higher to become boiling. Yad seledes bo, let's say the maximum, right, is 160. Boiling is 212. Can I take liquids from 160 and heat it up to 212? So Beis Yosef writes over here in Shin Yud Chesiv, Da'ud u'mashmali, shekol shehayad seledes bo mikri roisech. Anything that's yad seledes bo, 160 is the equivalent of boiling. And therefore the Shvish HaShabbos infers, Katzav Beis Yosef, u'mashmali, kol shehayad seledes bo mikri roisech, anything that's yad seledes bo is considered boiling. The Katzav al zeh ha'oilas Shabbos, or Shabbos classical Akron, you know, it's quoted sometimes in the Magen Avraham, dim asa achar kach shiyah kedera martiyach potter. You heat it up to 212, your potter. Kevin Shekvar Gamkin Haisa Yad Seledesbo. It was already Yad Seledesbo. Shvish HaShabbos asks, how could this be allowed? How is this any different than taking food, which was Michael Ben Derusai, and cooking it to be Mavushal Kol Tzarkai? Cooking it to be fully cooked, which we know according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is prohibited. People prefer, by the way, if you know how to drink tea, you should really make tea in boiling water. 160 is no good for tea. People who know how to drink tea, it's supposed to be boiling. So boiling water is better than Yatzar Gadisbo water. So that's like Mavusho called Sarko. Yatzar Gadisbo is the equivalent of Michael Ben Derusoy. You know, Ben Derusoy would make tea in 160. But Mavusho called Sarko is in 212. So in Canaan, my Yatzar Gadisbo, the Mido Negra Asia, Shmartiach, my time, Lo Yitzchayv, the Befratu, that's our Rama, my Shochan Aruch, the Gamin is Bashal, Michael Ben Derusoy, Chayv, the Bishuo, Achi is Bashal called Sarko. So the answer is, we would answer, for the Beis Yosef, that it's because liquids are different than solids. According to the Beis Yosef, there is no concept of bishul when it comes to liquids. So yes, when it comes to solids, we can distinguish between Michael Ben Derusoy, partially edible and fully edible. You take it from being partially edible to fully edible, it could be chayiv. Liquids, all there are, Shulchan Aruch Paskin is the strict approach of yesh bishul, acha bishul, dav alach. Once it's dipolo yatsa gadisbo, you reheat it, chayiv again. Because all there is when it comes to liquids, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is heat. Chimumo hu bishulo. So therefore, once it's hot, Yatzar Gadisbo is the same as Reiskem al pi halacha. There is no distinction. It's not the parallel of Michael Ben Derusoy and Mavucho called Tsarkai, you know, is to Yatzar Gadisbo and Roschim. They're not the same. It's not, the two are not comparable because they're entirely two different standards, two different axes. When it comes to liquids, it's all chimum. That's perhaps why the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, didn't, you know, would answer the kasha of the Shishas HaShabbos. But the Shishas HaShabbos himself suggests, when did the Beis Yosef say you can take water from being Yatzar Gadisbo to being Reiskem is only b'nisbasho kvar v'hela resicha v'nitztanin ma'at. It was hot, and then it cooled down. But it's still Yatzar Gadisbo. So since it was hot, and then it cooled down, as long as it's still Yatzar Gadisbo, that would be allowed. That would be allowed. But it had to first once be hot. So that's how the Shisa Shabbos understood the Beis Yosef. A simple interpretation of the Beis Yosef is that this is allowed. You're allowed to take it from Yatzar Gadisbo to be Reiskem. And we said that works with the Shulchan Aruch. So there are many who hold, or Moshe held, you're allowed to take water from being Yatzar Gadisbo. Let's say it's in one place on the blech, and move it over the fire to make it Reiskem, to make it boiling. Like the Beis Yosef implied. That's how Rabbi Moshe holds. However, the Shvi'is HaShabbos suggested that that's only once it's been cooked once already. And we should accept the argument of the Shvi'is HaShabbos. Why? Because again, we noted that in the Ramah, there's two ways of understanding this Ramah. We're not sure, are we Paskin? Do we Paskin Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul B'Dav Alach? Just the Ramah draws the line in the sand somewhere else than the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore all there is a concept by liquids is heating. In which case, once it's hot, you can take it from Yatzar Gadisbo to be Reischim. There is no comparison, you know, to Michael Ben Derusoy, Mavushal Kotzarko. Or maybe the Ramah holds Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'Dav Alach. Once it's cooled off, you can really reheat it. There is a concept of Bishul when it comes to liquids. What is the reason that he says if it's a Stan Lagami, you shouldn't reheat it? The Token Chomer, we don't want to confuse one liquids that have been cooked with liquids that haven't been cooked. But then if there is a concept by Bishul B'Alach, we can apply the parallel of Michael Ben Derusoy, Mavushal Kotzarko. And we'd return to the kasha of the base of Shvi'is HaShabbos. How can I take water that's Yatzar Gadisbo and heat it to Reiskem if I can't take food that's Michael Ben Derusoy and heat it to be Mavushal Kol Tzarkoy? So therefore, we'd have to say that it's only once it's been heated fully, it's been Reiskem, it's cooled down to be Yatzar Gadisbo, then I could reheat it to Reiskem. So since we're not sure how we paskin in this Ramah, do we hold Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'Dav Alach or Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul B'Dav Alach? Two ways of understanding the Ramah. We should be machmir over here, like the opinion of the Shvi'is HaShabbos, that you can only reheat water that was from Yatzar Gadisbo to Reiskem if it was once already Reiskem. And that's Shvi'is Shmir Shabbos. Kochasa also is mesupik about this issue, and he is machmer, like it says in the Shvi'is HaShabbos. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa is an Aleph, I think Sif Tzadivav, you could look it up. Of course, from Shom Zalman is mesupik about this, and in the end concludes the Chumra. You should only heat up water from being Yatzar Gadisbo to being Reiskem if it was once boiling already. This comes up with every Shabbos urn. Every Shabbos urn has an indicator tube in the front. And then it has the main body of the urn. And the main body of the urn cycles back and forth between boiling and maintaining the heat. Most do actually get up to 212 at one point. The water, though, in the indicator tube, which, of course, in order to reflect the water that is in the body of the urn, and the reason why it goes down when you take water out of the urn, is because they're both at the same, they're both connected. So when you take water out, it's not like a separate contraption. It's Everyone knows how water works, yeah? So the water, the indicator tube will maintain the same height as the water in the urn. So what happens when you push down on the plunger, water comes out of the body of the urn, some of the water in the indicator tube rushes into the body of the urn. All the water level goes down. The water in the indicator tube never becomes boiling. I've tested it out, we've tested it out, we did it here in Yeshiva, we opened it up, and we put, got from the lab, two different thermometers, it never becomes boiling. Many are aware of this issue. It becomes Yasoletis, bo, 160, but it never becomes boiling. So what happens every time you push down on the plunger? Nimtza water is coming out of the indicator tube and rushing into the body of the urn, and it's going from 160, and when it cycles back and forth between boiling and not boiling. So some Shabbos urns now have a Shabbos mode where it never cycles back and forth between boiling and not boiling. Okay. But most don't have that. Most take out of the indicator tube, it rushes into the body of the urn. So it's going to go from Yad Tzoretz Bo to Reischim. And the water in the indicator tube was never Reischim before Shabbos. So therefore, Bewilk suggested that a person, what you should really do is put up your urn. In order to do this, you have to put up your urn about a half an hour before Shabbos. Put it up before Shabbos that it's already on, you know, on maintenance mode, you know, where it's already been boiling once. Tip over the urn, you know, not fully, but lean it over so the water rushes out of the indicator tube back into the body of the urn, and then put it back upright there for the water, and the indicator tube was once, you know, was once cooked already. And the Archa Shabbos is already aware of this issue too. Perek Beis, I think, Sifcha Vav, Alamed, you can look it up. Archa Shabbos is already aware of this issue, but he suggests in the footnote, that you don't have to do this, because once your urn has been sitting for enough time, there's something called Brownian motion, that the molecules of liquids are never in a solid state. They're always moving around. So they tried this out with radioactive isotopes. They put in the indicator tube, they put in the body of the urn, and they noticed that there was mixture over time. They mix, which is not surprising. Water, molecules of water constantly moving back and forth. And it didn't remain in the indicator tube. So the same water that was in the indicator tube after, you know, an hour or so, or a few hours, is no longer the same water that is in the urn. So by the time you come home from shul Friday night already, all the water is going to be mixed already. And you don't have to be concerned with this, aside from the fact that Rav Moshe held, like the Beis Yosef said, that you could heat up water from being Yatzer Lettuceboy to being Reischem. Huh?
Who says that?
The Archa Shabbos has this with the Brownian motion. Yeah. Okay. Just two final points on this topic of Yesh Bishalach, Abishal B'davar Lach. And that is, what is considered to be a davar lach here? The Mishnah Berurah and Shimon Shin Yud Ches of Kana Ayin Aleph. We discussed, you know, pouring things and things that are eaten hot and things that are eaten cold. But the Mishnah Berurah discusses Hani Mili B'Melach Shechayfrim Aval Melach Shaisim Imaim Shemavashon Oisoi Ein Bo Mishum Bishol. He assumed that all of our salt is cooked, and therefore you want to put it in another pot. You don't have to be concerned with cooking. Ukuli Alma De Ein Bishalach Abishol. There's no bishalach habishal when it comes to salt. V'chein b'shu tzukar. Mutter mei time. Agut no b'kli rishon. Lach shavir min ha'esh v'esh mefakum izeh. He quotes some who treated dissolvable items as a davar yavish. And therefore, since we would say ein bishalach habishal b'davar yavish, you know, like sugar and salt which dissolve in a food, that's ein bishalach habishal b'davar yavish, because right now it's solid. And then yesh mefakum izeh. There are those who argue that since it dissolved in the liquid, we should treat it as a davar lach. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes, Tov Lizar mi Kli Rishon v'chachilo. It's good to not put this in a Kli Rishon v'chachilo, to be ma'achoshesh, that we should treat it not as it is now, but as it will be when it's in its liquid state. So therefore, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the way he concludes, dissolvable items like instant coffee, sugar, which is instant coffee is already cooked, sugar, salt, we'll get to in a second, should not be placed in a Kli Rishon, you should only put it in a Kli Sheni. Even though there are those who treated it like, we don't have to be machmer in a Kli, we're going to discuss Kli Sheni very soon, we don't have to be machmer, the chumers of Kli Sheni wouldn't apply to this, already a machlekes. So as long as you put it in a Kli Sheni, you'll be okay. Rabbi Avadia and the Chavadas, Chavad Basim and Memdawad, and the Tzvi Pesach Frek and the Har Tzvi, are lenient over here. We don't have to be chayshish for this chumrah of dissolvable items to treat as a liquid. We should treat it as a solid. Right now it's a solid. And they have a shtickle raya to their approach. From another comment of the Mishnah Berurah on another sif in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Shin Yud Ches Sif Tezayin, that a person is allowed to take a dish that has congealed fat and place it next to the flame on Shabbos. Not on the flame, but next to the flame. But the congealed fat is going to become hot and will liquefy. it might become Yatzeh Eresboi. Nonetheless, Shulchan Aruch says, Muta Litein and Pandia Keneged Ha'esh Makom Sheh Yatzeh Eresboi. Ve'af Al-Pisha, Shumen Shabash Nikrash, Chayzev Inimuach. Even though it's going to become melted and it's going to become hot. How could the Shulchan Aruch say this? Shulchan Aruch holds Yeish Bisha, Lach Ha'bisha, B'dav Alach. The Rambam throws in a Chumra, but it has nothing to do with this discussion. He's choshish for noilad. You're taking a solid and making it into a liquid. That's like making ice on Shabbos. A whole discussion about noilad and changing states on Shabbos. That's what the Rambam is busy with. However, how could the Shulchan Aruch hold you could do this? You're taking something which is a solid and making it into a liquid. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, V'yafo pisha shuman choizav inimuach, even though the fat is going to liquefy, mikom mako, mikri yavish, is considered to be a davar yavish. Kevin shebishah shenois ne'lechama ma'ilunim chadayin. It's right now, it's a solid. So we evaluate its status as it is right now. And right now, it's a solid, even though it's later going to become a liquid. So that should perhaps is grounds to be lenient with regards to dissolvable items as well. Why are we evaluating it as after it's already dissolved in the liquid and call it a davar lach and say, yesh bisha habisha, davar lach, you can't put it in a kli rishon, you have to put it in a kli sheni. No. Say we should treat, evaluate it as it is now, and as it is now, it's a solid. So we should treat sugar, and we should treat even instant coffee as a solid, and you could pour water directly from your urn on the instant coffee, on the sugar. It's all been cooked already, and it should be allowed. So there are some who are machmir, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah, not to do that. They would only put it in a kli sheni. And Rabbi Avadia, the Ratzi Pesach Frank, are mekel. I think many in this yeshiva are mekel too, but mekel. That we don't have to treat it as a liquid, treat it as a solid, as it is now, just like the congealed fat. The truth of the matter is, though, you could have distinguished between, just to defend the chumrah, you could have distinguished between the congealed fat and the instant coffee and the sugar. Why? Because the congealed fat, as it is edible. Meaning, maybe we evaluate the congealed fat as it is now, not after it liquefies. No, we evaluate it in solid state because it's edible in its solid state. And if you'll say, people who eat congealed fat, I would invite you to our Kiddush and the Ridnik Shtivo on the Upper West Side, but there's pecha, there's lots of solid fat. And that maybe not, you know, for millennial diet, but these things exist. People eat congealed fat. So maybe since it's, and certainly the times of Shulchan Aruch was eating. So this was not something that was not far, you know, was foreign, and therefore that's why the Shulchan Aruch perhaps evaluates it in its solid state. But sugar or instant coffee, one could have argued that those cannot be eaten in its solid state by Shir Husham, and therefore we have to evaluate it in its liquid state after it's been dissolved. That's what one could have argued. We will have made that argument, and therefore it should be machmir by the dissolvable. But then he backed away from that. And he, because he was introduced to cold, he doesn't drink any of these things. It's always hard to work with him on these things. But then he was introduced to cold brew coffee. Cold brew, which is now latest rage. So cold brew coffee is not just hot coffee that's poured over ice. It's brewed in cold water. So you see, you can brew coffee in cold water. So it can be eaten by Sher Husham in its cold state. It doesn't have to be made hot again. It can't be eaten in its solid state, but it can be eaten in its cold state. So it's edible cold. So working back with what we discussed before, if something could be edible cold, you know, so then maybe we should treat it as a davar yavish, not as a davar lach. And since the coffee, yes, it will become a liquid, but it could be eaten in its cold state too, we should treat it as a davar yavish and not as a davar lach. And you could have pour from your Shabbos and onto your instant coffee, perhaps even onto your sugar, which could also be eaten in its cold state. Doesn't have to be hot. One final issue. Is that what's mentioned by the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef over here, Oisites quotes from the Rabbeinu Yerucham, what if you have a mixture of solid foods and liquid foods? Chicken and sauce. Is that called a davar lach or a davar yavish? So the Rabbeinu Yerucham says we go based on, the culture, we go based on roiv. The culture, rubo roiv, teva mitzdamik v'yofaloi v'hut seinen, having mavushal gamma. Even though, yesh, there are those who held yesh bishach, abishu v'davar lach, if it's roiv yavish, we can be lenient. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Does not quote in the Shulchan Aruch. Bravadia writes in the Chavadas and Chel Basim Memhei, the Marsham, the Prima Gadol. Many accepted this distinction of the Rabbeinu Yerucham. It should go based on roiv. So if you have chicken and sauce, as long as the majority is chicken, or even some stews, as long as the majority is solid and not liquid, we could treat that as a davar yavish. They goitau asks in Sifkat Nunhei Oisidawad. Why should we treat this as a davar yavish? Lamaisa, there's lach here. And the lach, once it cools down, and then you reheat it, you're chai for bishul. Yesh bishul, chai bishul, but dava lach. So what difference does it make? If it's only a miut, a minority, so what? You're reheating minority. You're chai for minority for Shabbos. Okay, and the minority, you're chai for Shabbos. Segoi Tal rejects this Rabbeinu Yerucham out of hand. He doesn't, you know, can't justify the psak. He doesn't understand why the Rabbeinu Yerucham would say we go based on Rav here. How can we say the liquid is negligible? And Rabbi Eider, in his Sefer Hilchos Shabbos, quotes from Rav Moshe, his many things, the original things there from Rav Moshe, quotes from Rav Moshe, and Ois Kuf Yudawid, that you have to remove all, you know, as much of the liquid as possible. So if you're reheating chicken, you have to take the chicken out of the sauce. I don't think you have to scrape the top of the chicken, but you have to take the chicken out of the sauce. Can't reheat it together with the sauce. But what is the pshat in Rabbeinu Yerucham? It's very difficult. So the Shvi says, Shabbos suggests the following. Brilliant explanation. He suggests that Rabbeinu Yerucham is going to Shitasa. If you look all the way back to the Shulchan Aruch where we began, Shin Yud Ches Siv Dal, the Shulchan Aruch quotes another comment of the Rabbeinu Yerucham. When the Shulchan Aruch was discussing Yesh Bisha, Ach Bisha B'Dav Alach, that's his position, once it's cooled down, it's Azalei Bishu Yechai for Bishul again, Shulchan Aruch says, I'm sorry, the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, Yesh Aymrim, Davka Mitztamik V'Yofala. The longer it cooks, the better it gets. But if it doesn't get better by heating it again, then no. It's got to get better. Meaning it can't just be reheating the same old thing. It's got to get better. If it gets better when you reheat it, then you're chayiv. Davka im etzdamik v'yafalai. So it sounds like, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, the pshat in even though he subscribes, yesh bicha chabisha b'dav alach, but that's only when it's litoeles. That's only when it accomplishes something. When it's a reheating, that is significant. If it's just a reheating, the old thing, same thing, you know, the leftovers, you know, that's not reheating that you'd be chayv for on Shabbos. But if it's reheating where there is improvement, where it's yesh b'mamish, it's significant, then yesh bishach habishu b'dav
alach. Improvement from the cold status or improvement from what?
From the when it was before. It improves. Meaning not just you reheated it and it's the same food it was before. It's mitzamik v'yafalai. It got better. So according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, it's got to be reheating where it gets better. So therefore, the Shvi'is HaShabbos suggested, that's why Rabbeinu Yerucham holds, if the liquid is not a player over here, it's a tuffel to the entire dish, it doesn't play a role, so it's never going to get better by reheating the liquid as part of the chicken. That's not the main part of the dish anyway. So then that's not a matter of concern. That's a reheating that's insignificant, and therefore the Rabbeinu Yerucham is not concerned with Yesh Bisho HaChabisho in that setting, because Rabbeinu Yerucham never really subscribed to Yesh Bisho HaChabisho in the way that we know it. It's only reheating, which is significant. So this is not significant if it's a minority of the dish. But according to the way we pass, we don't accept that Rabbeinu Yerucham. We hold Yerachai for reheating, certainly if it's Netzdan and the Gamrei, according to the Ramah, even if it's not, doesn't improve the item from the where it started. And therefore, we cannot accept the kula of Rabbeinu Yerucham, and one would have to take the chicken out of the sauce, even if there's a minority of sauce, you have to make sure to remove it. Okay, Shkayachan.